Let's ask the Lord to help us and get us off to a good start in Luke. Father, we thank you for your precious word, Lord. I thank you that you worked it in my life. As stubborn as I was, you just kept working and working with me. And now I can't be out of it. It's so precious to me. It's like the Ark of the Covenant, just absolutely spotless and beautiful and so worthy of our study. Lord, all of us are needy. We all have needs in our lives that only you can meet. And so we come before you, Lord, to hear your still small voice, Lord. Speak to us. We need to hear from you, not from people. And we need to hear from you, especially as we get into the study this coming week. May your Holy Spirit make it alive and real to us. Lord, we have much to praise you about. We thank you that you gave us the energy and the strength to get out of bed this morning and to make it here. And I give you much praise for that. I don't take that for granted. So bless us, Lord. We're waiting, and we'll just simply give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I just want to say a brief thing, and I always do it every year, is that the first time I went to Bible study, I was dragged there. And not kidding you, I had a woman come by my house and park in front of it and wait for me to come. And the third Wednesday, the Bible study was on Wednesday. Third time she came by, my husband said, I think you should go. She keeps coming by. I thought, fine thing. You know, and I didn't want more religion. I had a lot of religion and it hadn't answered my questions. So I wasn't too happy about that. But I resigned to it and I packed up three of my children. The oldest two were in grammar school and the other three were in diapers, and I went off to Bible study, expecting my sixth at the time. And I had never opened a Bible before. I never owned a Bible. And it was a tough sledding because I couldn't pronounce anything. And that's why I say, you know, you're in a safe place here, because I said Psalms and I said Job and I said all those mispronounced everything. So if I did that, it's okay for you to do it too. Hey, we're all learning, and I'm really learning a lot. And that's the best part about being a teacher. That's why I have to be a teacher, otherwise I don't learn a whole lot. So I have to get it shoved into me one way or the other. Well, when I was studying this week, I came across this saying, and I'm not about to say it because I took 4 years of Spanish and can't say a word of Spanish. That was back in high school. Now, that was in the old days.
Hola.
Hola. However, what this says is, I tested my husband because he took, I think, 3 years of French. So, says the most beautiful book that exists is the Gospel of Luke. And this was high praise from a skeptic. He was a French critic. And he read the Gospel of Luke and it was kind of like he couldn't believe it. Renan's evaluation of Luke's Gospel is precious indeed. Most beautiful. My husband finally got it. He had to work on the words a little bit, so I felt better since I can't say much in Spanish either. Of course, I didn't bring that up to him. We have enough trouble with English. I think all of us might agree with this man by the time we finish this study, because Luke came to bring us things that we don't know from any of the other Gospels. And I hope you feel that way. Luke came from a Greco-Roman background, a Roman culture, and most of us who are born here in the United States have inherited that same culture, so therefore the Gospel of Luke appeals to us. Luke is the only New Testament Gentile chosen by God to pen his scriptures. That's such an awesome thing. We would be that much poorer if we didn't have the Gospel of Luke. I was thinking about that. We would have John, Mark, and Matthew, And you and I would think that all of this was based on a Jewish culture, and therefore Christianity is a kind of a Jewish sect. And but because of the Gospel of Luke, we know that the Gospel is for all men. Women, too. Kids, too. But without Luke's emphasis here, we would miss out. The Lord's love for and his offer of salvation to all people, not just for the Jews. Jesus had special interest in individuals. Yes, even the poor and the outcasts, like me. Oh, yes, I had lots of religion, but I had no reality of knowing Jesus as my Savior. And I've loved it so much, I've been in it ever since. So I hope you'll come to love the Lord and his word that much this year, too. So Luke strongly emphasizes praise. You know, I was talking to somebody in the last couple of days that they've just kind of gotten onto this praise thing, and I think, beautiful. You're going to be reinforced by the Gospel of Luke to praise. So you got problems in your life right now? All of us do. Have you thanked God for them? Now, you don't say, thanks a lot, God, for sending this to me. But you say, thank you, Lord, for sending me this problem. You're going to teach me something in it. And help me to be open to what you're going to teach me. And sometimes it's just that we get so involved with people and friends that we lean on them rather than the Lord. And the Lord's saying, come to me. And I just love that because he's your greatest friend. He's the one that can comfort you. And which reminds me. Pat gave me this yesterday, and I thought it was so good. He says, he is our comfort. Maybe that is why he lets us hurt. He is our comfort. Maybe that's why he lets us hurt. That's a tough one, isn't it? But it's great. I know if it hadn't been for all the things that I've been through, I certainly wouldn't have turned to the Lord. In fact, finally, it's like either you look my way or you're going to miss it all. And so I find, okay. So I started looking his way. But praise God. If you're looking for hymns or prayers or the Holy Spirit, you're going to find that all in the first two chapters of Luke. Look for those things. Luke presents Christ as the compassionate Son of Man to come and live among sinners. Every once in a while, think about that. This is the Lord God walking among sinners to love them, to help them, and then to die for them. What a wonderful Savior we have. In this gospel, you meet all kinds of people. You'll meet individuals. You'll meet crowds. You'll meet men, you'll meet women, children, poor people, rich people, sinners, saints. And that wonderful statement in first part of Luke says, good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And you say, I know that. That was in my Christmas card last year. Merry Christmas. But look at those words, good tidings and great joy which shall be to all people. You might read right over that and say, well, the angel said that, you know. And that's the Lord speaking to us. And if you're missing your joy, and you're struggling with it, then the enemy's got a good hold of you, and you need to take a stand against that. Remember to put on your whole armor. Dr. Luke is mentioned only three times in the New Testament, and it's all by Paul in Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. He never says anything about himself. Now, isn't that a good question? So, you're going to have to think about that. Why didn't he talk about himself? Yep. I stay up nights thinking up these questions. So he traveled with Paul. You'll pick that up in Acts 16 when it changes to we. And it's interesting. Paul was looking for direction, and he didn't know whether he should go east or west. And he was praying earnestly before the Lord, and the Lord gave him a vision that there was a man over in Macedonia waving to him, come over here, come over here. So Paul knew that he needed to go that direction. And I thought about that for a while. Because isn't it like us to look for direction? And if we see something like that in our mind's eye, we think, well, okay, there's a man over there. I should go that direction. And so Paul took off and said, yes, I'm to go to Europe and not to the east. And so what happened with Paul when he got over into Macedonia? He went down by the river because there was a group of women worshiping down there, and he witnessed to them about Christ. And I think how interesting. If that had been me, I would have gone right on by those women looking for a man, saying to come over here to Macedonia. But apparently Paul and Luke knew each other. And I thought, you know, how great of Paul to take every opportunity to talk about the Lord. Well, it's interesting, too, if you look up history, that the Greeks were looking for a perfect divine being. Such is Luke's presentation of Christ as Son of Man, strong yet compassionate. His humanity is prominent. Jesus' prayer life, for example, is referred to more than any other gospel. Watch that. You know, we have a tendency just to kind of read over words. But look for that. When Jesus goes up the mountainside, when Jesus goes aside from his disciples, he's going aside to pray. You'll find that over and over in the Gospel of Luke. His sympathy and compassion are all mentioned frequently. And there's a lot of us in this room that need that right now. Perhaps this is why women and children occupy such a prominent place in the Gospel of Luke. So if you're a Sunday school teacher and you teach children, be encouraged. Or if you've had children and you're teaching them at home, that's exactly the Lord favored children. The disciples, remember, were going to dismiss them and send them home. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. And wouldn't you love to have been a child hopping up on Jesus' lap? Oh, that would be so great. Also, the Gospel of Luke is a missionary gospel. Here the gospel goes out to the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus is presented as the Savior of the world. Now, finally, this gospel is a discipleship manual. Look for that. When Jesus puts his disciples in the boat and sends them out in the Sea of Galilee, and a horrible storm comes up, you could say, well, hey, God, what are you up to? Going to drown all your disciples? No. He's got something to teach them. So that's why it's called a discipleship manual. So you might be in your boat, and your boat might be taken on water today, and the storm might be coming down heavy on you, and you think, whoa, God, how come you put me out here? Just hang on. He's in the boat with you. That's the best part. Amen. Oh, we have all kinds of good stories in the Gospel of Luke. Well, Jesus trained his followers, and look for that training, because you and I think that if we accept the Lord, everything's going to be smooth and dandy, right? Well, I don't know where that verse is, but actually when you accept the Lord, a lot of problems come up, because he wants to mold us and make us like himself. Well, in the life of a perfect man, we find all these elements in Christ, and they make up the ideal life for all men. We shall also find the way of the cross in the Gospel of Luke. The way of the cross. I don't like the sound of that. No, none of us like the way the way of the cross. It's not something we go looking for, but the Lord allows us to have it. We'll look at that much closer when we get there. But we need to be listening to Jesus saying, forsake all and follow him. Obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. I thought that was such a good statement. I wrote it in. Obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. Trust and obey, there's no other way. That's the easy English part. Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sometimes that's the hard part, isn't it? Well, the date, we have all kinds of dates. My Bible gives me three different dates. Now, Acts and Luke have no dates and no byline. I was thinking how I write people and I say, dear so-and-so, and then I have at the end, lots of love, Liz. I mean that. But Luke doesn't say that. He doesn't say, Theophilus, dear Theophilus, lots of love, Luke. He doesn't sign it at all. And I have a question, why is that? So when you're driving around and doing things and shopping and things, you think about that and come up with an answer. We'll have a good time next week. So, and then I have this thing that because he didn't sign it and he didn't walk with Jesus, is the Gospel of Luke authentic? Can we trust it? Or does it just bother you? There's a place you can put in bothers me. That's fine. Oh, dear. I love to have fun with God's Word. You can challenge it. There's always answers. Well, Luke covers the birth of John the Baptist. Luke covers the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke also covers Jesus' boyhood, a short part of it. And we all wish there were more. And just notice now, every Christmas, there's on the History Channel, I think it's History 2, they'll come out with the Gospel of Thomas. And it says where Jesus, when he was a child, would strike down children if they didn't play the way he wanted them to play, and a few other things like that. Now, you can say, well, that's not consistent with Jesus' character. True. And it was also written, I think, from 600 to 800 years after Christ. And so when it comes on TV again, which it always does every year, just toss it out. Not in our canon for a reason. You will also come across the Beatitudes, and of course that good statement about loving your enemies and not judging, all those things we don't like. You'll be saying, oh, can't we do Isaiah again? This gospel's too hard. And of course there'll be a lot of people raised from the dead. I always like that. And multiple times Jesus talks about his own death and resurrection. You know, you really wonder, where were these disciples? Why didn't they catch on that he was going to die and rise from the dead? They didn't, because their love for him got in the way. But isn't that true of us? Our love for somebody gets in the way and we mess things up. And of course, the cost of discipleship. He reaches out to the scattered, to the social outcasts. And again, prayer is such an important concept in Luke. And a house divided against itself can't stand. When we look at the Holy Spirit, you'll find him 10 times at least. It's just in the beginning. The command there in Luke's gospel is not to worry. Any of you worrying today? I don't like that verse. I'm an expert worrier. And the Lord keeps telling me, stop it. So then we get the prodigal son, which really is the prodigal father. We get the rich man and Lazarus. I love that story. And then the lost sheep and the lost coin. And then, of course, the prodigal son. Those are three of my favorite. And, well, I hope I've whet your appetite a little bit for the Gospel of Luke. It should be exciting and a challenge. So let's ask the Lord to help us this week. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Again, we want to hear from you, Lord. We don't want to hear from people. We want to hear your still small voice speaking to us right where we are. Some are in a place of worry. Some are in a place of wondering what the future is going to hold. Some are in a place of hurt. Others have hurt them. And Lord, the list is endless. But we know you can address each of those things, that you can. You are the only one that can truly satisfy us. So help us to stop looking to people and to look to you to be our satisfaction. Oh God, may this be a precious week in your word, for we'll simply give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.